We're really pleased to see everyone here this morning to be able to worship with us and to have fellowship one with another. You know, it just in Eddie's reading this morning, there's just something there that doesn't seem fair. It just doesn't seem fair. All of the blame that the tongue gets. And I'm just going to make that statement. We're going to talk about that more. But it just doesn't seem fair. We're going to be talking about the tongue, but not in particular. I mean, that's part of it. But we're going to talk about speaking, talking. Before you speak, think. And I think, and I'm sure, that that's a lesson for that all of us can think about and can study. I know it's been good for me in studying this. But you know, it's especially imperative for all teachers to know what and how to speak. What and how to speak. I want to read a scripture in Isaiah, the 50th chapter and verse 4. "And the Lord God has given me the tongue of the disciple, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." I'm going to read that once again. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the disciple, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." So that kind of prefaces what I want to talk about. And we're going to be thinking about our teaching one another. Because, you know, all Christians should develop as teachers. And we turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and look at verses 12 through 14. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So I think it's, you know, if we think, well, you know, if you're thinking, well, I'm not really a teacher. Well, I may not be an excellent teacher. I may not be a good teacher. I may not even be a poor teacher. But we're all teachers. There's no way you can say I'm not a teacher, because we all, in different degrees and in different ways, are teachers. And sometimes, if not by word, by example, most assuredly. But you know, as the elders, Bob and I have been working with Brother Matt to try help develop him as a teacher. And I found it very quite admirable, his attitude very admirable. He has a really strong desire to teach the Word of God. Very admirable. But there's been more than once he has expressed a concern about James chapter 3, verse 1. We've talked about that. And that's the verse that says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive the stricter judgment." But didn't we just read that in Hebrews it said we ought to be teachers, we ought to become teachers. He said, "Shame on you, you're not teachers yet, you should be. You've had time to mature, you should be teachers." But then in James it says, "Let not many of you become teachers." Well, I think whether we want to or not, as I've already said, we are teachers in some degree we are teachers. Now, I know Matt's concern is whether that he can develop to always teach the words that's in accordance with the Bible while delivering them in an edifying manner. And that's kind of what we're going to focus on and talk about. Before you speak, think. So really the first main point that I want you to take from this lesson is that the sacred teaching of every Christian man or woman, whether it's in the public or whether it's in private, must be taught with words that are according to the Scriptures, to the Bible, and delivered in an edifying manner. That's very important. So the purpose of my lesson is to just encourage all of our members to think before we speak. Because remember, we're all teachers in some sense. Therefore, we have to all learn to control our tongue. And that brings us to the tongue. Taming the tongue. And Eddie read us that chapter, and I appreciate the reading of that, Brother Eddie. Taming our tongue begins by educating the mind and purifying the heart. But then you say, well, wait a minute. What about James 3 and 8 that was just read in our hearing? And Eddie even emphasized it and said, but no man can tame the tongue. So why are we even talking about taming the tongue? He said, it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Estes, who was a 16th century Bible commentator, speaking of the tongue, had this to say. He said, nay, the nature has hedged it in with a double barrier of the lips and teeth, but it bursts from its barriers to assail and ruin men. Talking about the tongue. Similar to what James said in the third chapter. James, in the third chapter, in the 10th verse, I think makes it very plain that Christians have the same trouble taming the tongue as the ungodly. When he said that no man can tame the tongue, he's talking about Christians as well as those in the world. But in the 10th verse, he said, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. And then he adds, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. And when he said, my brethren, I think he is appealing to every one of us. He's appealing to the Christian conscience to take action to control what the mouth speaks. So, the question is, well, what can a man or a woman do? What can a Christian do to rein in and to halter the tongue? Here's another point to remember. The one thing that we can do to help tame the tongue is think before we speak. Think before we speak. It's so easy when confronted with a question or a comment or whatever, it's so easy for us to just speak very quickly without stopping and thinking. We sometimes think that, you know, if I don't speak up real quick, then they'll think that I don't have an answer. Or I don't know what I'm talking about. And I think someone was mentioning in one of the debates, of the vice presidential debate, that one of the participants, when asked a question, paused about 3 seconds. And it kind of seemed like, oh, well, I don't know the answer to that. But I think pausing before we speak has a lot of wisdom in it. Where does speech originate anyway? Does it originate here in our tongue? Jesus has the answer in regard to the chief or to the evil scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew the 12th chapter and verse 34. He said, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? And then he gives us this sentence that lets us know, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And again, in Matthew the 15th chapter, verse 34, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart. and they defile the man. Now the words that come out are the weapons or the arrows or the shots that really wound people. Or they are the blessings that bless people. It can be either cursings or blessings when our words come out. And our tongue is what forms those words. But that's why it doesn't seem fair to the tongue. The tongue is just like the speakers from our sound system. There's a wire that runs from the speakers over and comes through the microphone that picks up my voice. So the tongue is wired to the heart, to the mind of man, to his brain. Can there be any doubt where our speech comes from? You know, it originates from the heart, or the biblical heart, which is the mind of man, that is the seat and the center of human life. So the physical tongue is just the delivery system that relays the sound of words that communicates thoughts, feelings, desires, impulses, and plans of the heart. So it's the heart and mind that controls what we think, which results in what we speak. David said in Psalms 53, verse 1, he said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." How do you speak in your heart? We don't hear any sound from the heart, do we? Well, yeah, we do. It's coming out of my mouth. But it's originating in my heart. The fact that words are first formed and spoken in one's heart or mind, I think that's very helpful in this lesson, in thinking and evaluating the words that we're considering to verbalize with the tongue. The tongue simply verbalizes those words, puts the words out that are things that our mind and our heart are thinking about. Now, the remainder of the rest of my lesson is going to be based on a catchy acrostic that I'm sure you probably have seen of the word think. T-H-I-N-K. Bernard Meltzer said, "Before you speak, ask yourself if what you are going to say is true, is helpful, is inspiring, is necessary, is kind. And if the answer is no, maybe what you are about to say should be left unsaid." Or another way of saying think before you speak is to say, open your mind before you open your mouth. Open your mind before you open your mouth. Now, can we find this principle in the Scriptures? Yes, we definitely can. Paul told the brethren at Philippi, in the Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse 8, he said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things." Or some translations say, meditate on these things. Or that word comes from a Greek word meaning focus on it, dwell on it. Dwell on those things. Get them established in your heart and in your mind. In other words, think about the potential impact of what you are going to say and how you are going to say it. Because the how and the what, those are very important things. Now I want to turn to Luke, the 12th chapter. And the 12th chapter of Luke, the 11th verse. 11th verse of the 12th chapter of Luke. And I picked this up yesterday at our men's meeting at Gregory Road. Someone mentioned this and I hadn't really thought about it. It says, "Now when they bring you to the synagogue and magistrates and the authorities," he's talking to his disciples, "when they bring you before these magistrates and authorities, Do not worry about how or what you shall answer or what you should say. So it was not only about, don't worry about what you're going to say, but don't worry about how you're going to say it. And the reason was because the Holy Spirit was going to lead those disciples to say it the right thing in the right way at the right time. So we find that, I think that's something very important for us to consider and to think about. So therefore, be thoughtful not only about the impact of your words, but also about the tone or mannerisms of speech. You know, the tone of voice can carry enthusiasm and sincerity, or it can rebuff and show sarcasm, causing what we say to be taken in a wrong way. So for this reason, I think that we must combine the content of our message with the proper tone of voice, along with corresponding body and facial language, in order to effectively communicate our message. Before you speak, think, consider, and ask yourself 5 questions. And I'm going to finish writing. I'm going to write these on the board. So it'll take just a minute. Let me get these written out. And all of these, were the question is, is it true? That's not right. I'll get another chalk so you can see it. Another marker. I'm going to start over. Is it true? Is it helpful? And I'm going to add, we'll be talking about another word, and that is edifying. Is it inspiring? And I'm going to add another word there, exalting. Is it necessary? Would help if I could spell. Or essential. Is it essential? And finally, is it kind? Or I'm going to add the word love, loving. Okay, so we're going to spend the rest of the time looking at those 5 questions. Is what I'm going to say true? Well, on that point, let's just consider the consequences of speaking lies. If it's true, it's not a lie. It's the truth. So what about speaking lies? Well, Proverbs 19, verse 5 says, a false witness shall not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. And the Lord was so intent on us getting that down in verse 9 then, 4 verses later, he repeated the same words verbatim, exactly. Speaking truth is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Psalms, the 15th chapter, verses 1 and 2. It says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? And then he answers, he who walks uprightly, works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. Remember the verse that the children know. They could quote it. Proverbs 4:23. Can you quote that for me, Christian? Proverbs 4:23. Keep. Can you say that? Can you say that verse? Proverbs 4:23. Thank you. That's exactly right. Keep your heart with all diligence. Be very careful about it, because out of it springs the issues of life. That's very important. So truth is a very important thing. Number two, is what I'm going to say helpful, or is it edifying? You know, even if we are going to say if we're going to say something that's completely the truth, there can be times and circumstances that our words will not be helpful and edifying. Now, Paul teaches us this in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 23. It's pretty plain. He said, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful." I think other translations say expedient. But not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, he continues, but not all things edify. So this is part of our thinking before we speak. And you know, in studying this lesson, you know, it makes you want to think, well, wait, I need quite a bit of time before I speak. Because I need to go through all of these five different things. But this needs to become a part of us when we speak. You know, by speaking the Word of God, whether it's from the pulpit or across the backyard fence with your neighbors, we must be very careful to help others to attain unto the grace of God. And let me read from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 14 and 15. "Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." That word, looking carefully, it means seeing to it that no one falls short of the grace of God because of what we say, by saying something in the wrong way or by telling them what is not truth. So we don't want to cause anyone to fall short of the grace of God, because that is the promise of eternal life. Hebrews 4:1. "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it." It's a fearful thing to fall short of the grace of God. It's a fearful thing not to be able to enter His rest, that promise that we have through the grace of God. So in speaking to others and trying to encourage one another, to upbuild one another, to help one another to make it to that promised rest, the eternal life, we need to think before we speak. Is what I'm going to say inspiring or exalting? You know, and we're talking about inspire in a natural way. We're not talking about miraculous inspiration, but we're just talking about, because I can't inspire you miraculously, but hopefully if my speech is proper and true, I can inspire you in a natural way, which means to give something to someone, or to put it or set it upon their heart for good. As we find in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So our speech must edify and minister or give good benefits to those that hear us. So I think the question that we need to ask ourselves, will my words influence your heart to produce an attitude of righteousness in your life? Will my speech exalt or raise you up with Christ to seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God? Will it set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth? Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Is what I'm going to say necessary or essential? In other words, is it something that's really indispensable to some purpose? or something that no one can do without? Well, there's a lot of things that we say probably that people could do without. But we're talking in the line of communicating spiritually with one another and teaching in particular. Now, I would say in just our normal conversation, well, we know we're going to have to give an account for all the words that we say. But in some of our casual conversation, we say a lot of things that probably are not necessary to relate. And that can be bad in relating things that we shouldn't be relating about something at somebody else. So that's kind of a different. What we're trying to look at is mainly in our teaching others or just communicating the good news to other people. Let's do it, and we must think before we speak. You know, the apostles and the elders and the brethren at Jerusalem, when they were writing to the Gentile Christians in Acts, the 15th chapter and verse 29, you know, they'd had problems because the Judaizing teachers was trying to make the Gentile Christians be circumcised. So you have to be circumcised before you can be in the church. Well, this stirred up a lot of problems. And so the church at Jerusalem with the elders and the apostles and the brethren, they got together and they talked about this. And here's what they wrote. He said, "For it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." Now, there was a lot of things that they could have said to the Gentile Christians. But at that particular time, the most essential thing was to remind the Gentile brethren to do four things: abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, and from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. Those four things. So in other words, it was not necessary to speak of faith, repentance, confession, baptism, since these were not really being questioned at that time. But it was the erroneous requirement of keeping the old law except the four things mentioned. And that's why those were the necessary things at that particular time. You know, we're not saying, you know, even though writing to the Gentiles about the importance of baptism would have been true and edifying, but it would have distracted from the pertinent discussion with the Gentiles on Christianity and the old law at that particular time, given the problem that they were having. So, we need to think, is it really necessary at this point? Is it essential for me to say what I'm going to say right now at this given time? Okay, and the last one. Is what I'm going to say kind or loving? You know, talking about saying things that are kind, it's speaking kindly of the truth to one another is really showing a mild manner of one's speech. And it's a speech that is readily absorbed into the heart and minds of other people. In Romans, the 12th chapter and verse 10, Paul, I think, trying to get this through into our minds and hearts, he said, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." So Christians must speak honorably to all. We read that in 1 Peter 2:21. That is, giving preference or showing the way as a leader by being kind and loving in our speech. And in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 4, tells us that being kind is really an attribute of love. Therefore, we're instructed in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 15 and 16. He said, "Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things unto Him, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effectual working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." So if you notice in that reading, there were three things in particular that we've been talking about. to make effective thinking before we speak, and that is truth. We've got to have truth, and we've got to have edifying, and we've got to have love. And that all equals, and that and the other things we're talking about, will cause growth to happen. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what edifying means, is to cause to grow, to help to grow. In conclusion of my remarks this morning, I think, therefore, we find that in word or deed, we must, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And that's from Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 12 through 14. You know, I believe a saying by Napoleon Hill is really good advice. It says, "Wise men, when in doubt, whether to speak or to keep quiet, give themselves the benefit of the doubt and remain silent." Abraham Lincoln was a little bit more blunt in the way that he said it. He said, "It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt." Peter, speaking to all Christians in 1 Peter the 3rd chapter, verse 8, he said, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous." That word courteous means friendly of mind and speech. Friendly of mind and speech. So let us all remember, when speaking to others, whether in the church or in the world, before you speak, think. Is it true? Is it helpful or edifying? Is it inspiring or exalting? Is it necessary or essential? Is it kind or loving? And I want to close my remarks by reading from the Word of God. The inspired Word concludes it in this way in James 2 and 12. "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." We hope that your minds have been blessed by some of these words, and I've given them a lot of thought, and realize that it's very important that we think before we get up and speak, or before we speak to an individual. But it seems as though in front of a large congregation with many people, there is a large responsibility there. And so I can see what Matt was saying. We can understand what James was saying in the 3rd chapter, verse 1. "Not many of you be teachers." And this may be more in the public sense, I'm not sure. But there is a great responsibility. But we all are teachers in some degree. So I think that we need to keep this in mind. Before you speak, think. I hope you're thinking this morning about your soul, because that's the most important thing that we have. And it's going to last for eternity. So we encourage you to think about your soul. Have you come to the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Have you obeyed the Lord? We give you that opportunity. We extend that invitation this morning that you can come and let us help you in any way that we can while we stand and sing.